This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
Good morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Friday, October 27th, 2006. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Jake Wallner. Coming up on this morning's newscast, Oregon governor's race is already the most expensive in state election history, with 11 days still to go.
Approximately 100 UN member nations are expressing their opposition to the U.S.'s economic blockade against Cuba.
And teachers in Oaxaca, Mexico, vote to end a five-month-old strike.
Today's Portland area weather, mostly sunny, patchy fog in the morning, locally dense, highs around 60, light wind tonight, mostly clear, patchy fog after midnight, lows in the 30s.
A Portland man and two other United Airlines pilots have sued their pilots' union. They are accusing it of cutting them out of payments from a deal that allowed the airline to end its suspension plan benefits from United's terminated pension plan. The lawsuit, filed in U.S. District Court in Portland, alleges the Airline Pilots Association International dispersed most of a $545.5 million payout it recovered from United last year, but gave none of it to the furloughed pilots recalled after the airline's February exit from bankruptcy. Attorneys representing the three pilots say as many as 1,500 pilots might have been on the furlough at the time United left bankruptcy. They say the plan to seek class action status to represent any active pilots who didn't receive a payout. This from the Oregonian.
Howard Rich lives in New York City, and his name is not on any ballot. Yet the wealthy real estate investor is a key reason why citizens in distant states will be voting November 7th on bitterly contested initiatives that would limit state spending, impose term limits, and curb land use regulation. Rich is a libertarian who vigorously champions the cause of limited government. He's the driving force behind a network of groups that's promoted ballot measures in at least 14 states this year. Several of the campaigns were derailed by legal and signature gathering problems, but states where Rich backed measures did make the ballot, often with most of their funding coming from his network, include Arizona, California, Colorado, and Oregon, also Washington. Mitch is a major backer of Measure 48, which would severely limit spending on social programs in the state. He's also contributed to the term limits measure. Jake?
The Oregon governor's race is already the most expensive in state's political history, and there are still 11 days to go before Election Day. Democratic Governor Ted Kulongoski and his Republican challenger Ron Saxon have together raised $9.2 million so far this election cycle. The bulk of the money has been raised by the Saxton campaign, buoyed by five-figure donations from timber firms, real estate developers, and automobile dealers. In new campaign finance reports filed with the state on Monday, Saxton reported raising $6 million for the general election, $2.5 million of that in the campaign last month alone. A generous percentage of Saxton's campaign contributions come from the timber industry. This promises that Saxton would vastly alter the face of environmental stewardship statewide. This from the Oregonian and other sources.
A citizen review panel has voted to endorse a new state office that would take over elections and other tasks from the Secretary of State. The Public Commission on the Oregon Legislature proposes to model the new office after the Federal Comptroller General, who's appointed for a 15-year term to lead the Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of the U.S. Congress. Since Oregon became a state in 1859, the Secretary of State has been elected by party for a four-year term and is limited to two consecutive terms. In addition to elections and campaign finances, that official oversees audits, maintains public documents, and is one of three members of the state land board. The new official would take over elections and campaign finances and provide staff help for the state government ethics panel and a new commission that would redraw legislative and congressional district lines every decade. Voters would have to approve any change affecting audits. Secretary of State Bill Bradbury, a Democrat, said there is no good reason to add a statewide office holder. This from the Salem Statesman Journal. And now we are going to hear voices from membership land.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone who gets up to listen to this KBOO morning news program. We are on the last day of our membership drive, and we are hoping that you will help us bring it home today by calling 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO. And as a special thank you for those of you who listen to the KBOO Morning News, we have a special way to say thank you this morning. We have right here looking at me this very moment a George W. Bush mask. You know, one of those you pull over your head and all of a sudden you become the president. If this is something you've always wanted to do and you've been wondering what you're going to be come Tuesday, here is your chance for a $120 minimum pledge to this KBOO radio station. You can have this mask. The pledge needs to be brought into the studio so you can pick up the mask in time for Halloween. Obviously, we won't have time to mail it to you. But if you want to come in with $120 cash or check, you can walk out with this mask. But even more importantly, you can walk out knowing that you have helped this radio station and that you have either upped your membership or become a new member. So if you would like to take advantage of this special news-only offer, morning news-only offer, give us a call, 503-232-8818. There's only one mask. It's a $120, $10 a month pledge, but I guess since we're saying you have to bring it in cash or check, you have to do it all at once. But if you can do that, it could be yours.
But what if I wear glasses? Is there any other...
Oh, yeah, I wear glasses. Listen.
Is there any other body part I might perhaps want to wear that mask on Halloween?
Well, I guess it would be up to you. It would be up to you, Chris. Once it walks out the door, what you do with it is up to you. But I've been wearing it around my house, and I've got glasses. And
it's
so,
a big decision. And you can make that decision by calling us at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. We have a great news program. Becca Bottleson has put together a terrific lineup of stories, and we really want to get back to those. And I'd like to add to just, you know, to make, you know, ask people to think a little bit this morning about what this kind of programming actually means to you. We have others, we have some syndicated news programs, and those people are paid, they have salaries, they've got lots and lots of assistants bringing them AP stories and cups of coffee and so forth. We do this, Jake Wallner, myself, Becca Bottles, and all of us get up early, we work late at night, we put this thing all together all ourselves, and we feel that it is a labor of love. We enjoy doing it, and we definitely need your support right now. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
Well, I don't know if you'd exactly call it a labor of love, but you could have a chance on Halloween to be George W. Bush, so give us a call now.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said yesterday that anyone demanding deadlines for progress in Iraq should just back off, because it's too difficult to predict when Iraqis will resume control of their country. During an often combative Pentagon news conference, Rumsfeld said that while benchmarks for security, political, and economic progress are valuable, it's difficult. We're looking out in the future. No one can predict the future with absolute certainty. He said the goal should have no specific deadlines or consequences if they are not met by specific dates. Chris?
6 years after the emergence of the now infamous hanging chad in the 2000 presidential elections, monitoring groups warned that technological glitches and hackers could throw the next month's midterm elections into chaos. This according to The Guardian. With polling day less than 2 weeks away, a report this week by electionline.org, a nonpartisan organization, anticipates problems at the ballot box in as many as 10 states. The report says that machine failures, database delays, and foul-ups, inconsistent procedures, new rules, and new equipment have some predicting chaos at the polls at worst and widespread polling place snafus at best. This according to The Guardian.
A 15-year-old flag burner was charged as a juvenile under legislation that makes flag burning illegal in the state of Iowa. Marianne Beck, the flag burner, allegedly burned the flag on the flagpole at the local Veterans of Foreign Wars facility. The local police chief called it an act of pure vandalism. Iowa anti-desecration law covers the public act of mutilating, defacing, defiling, or defying the American flag. The girl was released to her parents after being charged.
The 2006 election is shaping up to be a repeat of 1994. This time, Democrats are favored to sweep Republicans from power in the House after dozens of years of GOP rule. Less than 2 weeks before the November 7th election, the latest Associated Press AOL News poll found that likely voters overwhelmingly prefer Democrats over Republicans. They're angry at President Bush and the Republican-controlled Congress and say Iraq and the economy are their top issues. At the same time, fickle middle-class voters are embracing the Democratic Party and fleeing the GOP just as they abandoned Democrats a dozen years ago and ushered in an era of Republican control. The AP AOL News telephone poll of 2,000 adults, 970 of whom are likely voters, was conducted by Ipsos from October 20th to 25th.
Some 100 UN member countries officially expressed their opposition to the over 40-year economic blockade the United States has maintained against Cuba and urged annulment of the measure. The report contains evaluations by 20 UN bodies that disqualify the sustained practice of this policy in the U.S. hostility against Cuba. UN diplomats confirm that this report, drafted by the UN Secretary General, is a substantiation of the global consensus of rejection of the extraterritorial character of the U.S. blockade. The circulation of the report is part of the actions preceding the annual UN debate of necessity to end the economic, commercial, and financial blockade on Cuba. The official agenda informs that the 61st General Assembly will debate this topic on November 8th for the 15th consecutive year. This from Prensa Latina.
Women are facing increasing violence in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Somalia, especially when they speak out publicly to defend women's rights. This according to a senior United Nations official who told the UN Security Council. Nolene Heiser, executive director of the United Nations Development Fund for Women, called on for fresh efforts to ensure the safety of women in countries emerging from conflicts, to provide them with jobs and ensure that they receive justice. This includes compensation for rape. Heiser spoke at a day-long open council meeting on implementation of a 2000 resolution that called for women to be included in decision-making positions at every level of striking and building on peace deals. It also called for the prosecution of crimes against women and increased protection of women and girls during war. Jake?
Teachers in the southern Mexican state of Oaxaca voted yesterday to end a five-month-old strike, allowing 1.3 million children to return to classes and potentially taking the sting out of an anti-government protest besieging the historic city. The unrest was evident earlier in the day as protesters seized a city bus, forced passengers off, and set it ablaze. Authorities have said they hope that the situation will improve when teachers return to work on Monday. UN Secretary Ezequiel Rosales announced that just over 31,000 union members voted to end the walkout. More than 20,000 voted to continue the strike. Striking teachers have been camped out in Oaxaca's Colonial Center since May, when they first walked out to demand higher pay and better working conditions.
Esa mujer que abandoné la arena, su cuerpo es una roca que dibuja la luz del mediodía, roca oscura.
In Brazil, President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva holds a wide lead over challenger Geraldo Alckmin heading into Sunday's runoff election. Three polls showed Silva comfortably winning the race by 22 or more percentage points. Silva's lead has grown despite accusations of influence peddling, vote buying, and campaign finance violations that have dogged his administration since 2004 and forced key party leaders to step down. None of the accusations has involved the president, and he has quickly removed alleged violators. Jake?
Nicaragua last night voted to outlaw all forms of abortion, including operations to save a pregnant woman's life after a campaign by the Catholic Church. The main political party supported a bill establishing jail sentences of 6 to 30 years for women who terminate their pregnancies and doctors who perform the procedure. The proposal was fast-tracked through Parliament in the run-up to a presidential election next month, prompting accusations that it was an opportunistic vote-grabbing ploy. This, according to The Guardian.
The Colombian government and the country's second-largest rebel group agreed yesterday to launch a formal peace process, marking the latest step in a slow, laborious effort to address deep differences between the two sides. Colombia's peace envoy and the military chief of the National Liberation Army, or ELN, announced they had ended the exploratory phase of discussions and agreed to the formal establishment of talks aimed at reaching a peace agreement. Peace Commissioner Luis Carlos Restrepo and ELN leader Antonio Garcia said they had agreed to work on creating a peaceful environment to promote successful talks. They hope to resume talks in Havana by early December.
A United Nations committee has voted overwhelmingly to begin work on drawing up an international arms trade treaty. The measure would close loopholes in existing laws, which means guns still end up in conflict zones despite arms embargoes and export controls. It could also stop the supply of weapons to countries whose development is being hampered by arms spending. Only the U.S., a major arms manufacturer, voted against the treaty, saying it wanted to rely on existing agreements. A total of 139 states voted for the motion. There were 24 absentations. This from the BBC.
U.S. coffee chain Starbucks is denying Ethiopia earnings of $88 million a year, according to Oxfam. The U.K. charity says Starbucks asked the National Coffee Association to block the country's bid to trademark three types of coffee bean in the U.S. Oxfam says poor farmers would have benefited from the move, but the NCA says there is no economic case to support the charity's claims. Starbucks denies initiating opposition to the trademark application. The Ethiopian government filed its applications to trademark its most famous coffee bean names, Sidamo, Harar, and Yirgacha, in U.S. courts last year. Oxfam claims that Starbucks flagged up the application to the NCA, of which the firm is a leading member. The NCA then filed its opposition at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Oxfam's Phil Bloomer said the charity had worked with Starbucks in the past and appealed to the firm to act responsibly. Berhanu Kebede, Ethiopia's ambassador to the UK, said that the international community should support the country's efforts to ensure farmers got a fair reward for their hard work. This from the BBC.
Officials in Afghanistan were today investigating the possible deaths of 60 civilians during a NATO and Afghan army offensive in the south of the country. At least 48 insurgents were killed in a day of fighting in the Panjawi district of Kandahar province on Tuesday. Major Luke Knighting, a spokesman for the International Security Assistance Force, said the 60 dead bodies had been discovered, but it was very unclear whether they were civilians or insurgents. The possible civilian deaths, which a UN statement said were in the village of Nangawat, happened during Eid, the festival marking the end of Ramadan. This, according to The Guardian Unlimited.
A roadside blast has ripped through a vehicle in southern Afghanistan, killing 14 people and wounding three. The victims were traveling to a provincial capital for holiday celebrations. An Afghan official says it's not clear if the explosions were from an old mine left over from past conflicts or a newly planted roadside bomb.
Germany has accused the Israeli Air Force of releasing flares and firing near one of its Navy ships off the coast of Lebanon. The planes, two F-16s, fired two shots and released the flares, which can be used as a defense measure against heat-seeking missiles. Israeli Defense Ministry denied the report. And now we go to membership time. Pick up the phone, punch in the numbers, 503-232-8818.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, we are here asking you to become a member of KBOO. This is the last day of our membership drive, and I know that some of you are awfully tired of so many programs being cut short so that we can ask for your membership assistance, but the fact is that we are a membership-driven organization. So if you have already phoned in your membership, we thank you. We want you to know how important that is to the very life of this station. If you've waited until today, today has arrived. And please now call 503-232-8818. Help us celebrate KBOO by keeping it strong, by keeping it alive, by keeping it the kind of place where you tune in at 7 o'clock in the morning because you know you're going to hear the unfiltered true news. 503-232-8818.
Marlene, I wonder, the people listening out there, I imagine that at least a few of you consider yourself supporters of local businesses. You buy locally, you support local artisans, you buy locally grown fruit and vegetables, and you are involved in local politics, perhaps. Those are the people that need to call us right now. We are local, homegrown, handmade, free-range, organic radio. This news broadcast is put together by volunteers. We are not paid. We do it because we really believe in this adventure that is KBOO. So call us right now at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. We bring you all the local news. We try to stay on top of things that are happening right here in Portland and around the listening area. We bring you news from downstate. We bring you news from the eastern parts of the region. And this is Greater Cascadia. This is Radio Free Cascadia. We're going out to you every single day. And now it's time for you to come back to us with your calls. Make those phones ring. We've got volunteers in there. Also people who are local, who don't get paid, who do this because they really believe in this. 503-232-8818. We're outside of that area. You can reach us toll free at 1-877-500-5266. You can also come down here to number 20 Southeast 8th. You can go online, www.kboo.fm. Marlene has told you about a terrific thank you gift that we can offer you this morning. Be that person, that individual that says, yeah, I definitely believe in keeping it local. And this is where it all starts. This is where activism starts, is right here in your own home, in your own hometown. So call us right now at 503-232-8818. 1-877-500-5266. Sorry, go ahead, Mom.
No, I was going to say, we want to thank Jan in Vancouver for calling and renewing his membership. He did, actually, folks, he did grab up that George W. Bush mask, and he will be in shortly to pick that up. But we also have posters that say, Wanted, George W. Bush, the outlaw known as the Toxic Texan for crimes against the planet. And if you come in with any membership amount, this will be one of the ways we say thank you. We have about 5 of these posters left. I would say they're like 2 feet by 3 feet. They're pretty good size. There's a huge picture of the resident on them. And these are put out by the Campaign Against Climate Change. So if you bring your membership down to this station at 20 Southeast 8th, as a part of our way of saying thank you, you can walk out with one of these posters. So come on by, 20 Southeast 8th, 503-232-8818. You can call. We'll hold one for you. But they will probably start going like hotcakes now that I've mentioned it.
This is the perfect time to call. It's Friday. It's early. Call us right now at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. Like we said, we don't get paid to do this. We do this because we really believe in it. It is an adventure. It is an experiment. This is Radio Free Cascadia, and you are what makes this happen. You call, and it happens. It comes on the air. This is local radio. This is radio that you can use, that you can interact with. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. Whichever way you want to do it, down line, come in, call us, but make that commitment right now to local programming. Marlene? How
yes,
are we doing?
Yes, I think one thing
I still don't hear any.
You know, one thing that's interesting is that the only person who's called so far is the person who wanted the George W. Bush mask. Now, I have to believe that there is more to there is more drawing people to KBOO than George W. Bush. I have to believe that it's not just when we have a mask available that you'll call and help us out with a membership. So the number is 503-232-8818. I know the mask was a great hook, a good way to wake you up this morning, but the reality is you got up to listen to this news. You didn't even know the mask was on its way. So give us a call now. Thanks.
South Koreans appear to be calming their nerves with sex following North Korea's nuclear test. Stores right across the country have reported dramatic jumps in condom sales. Bookings for love motels also rose, with many having no vacancies. Experts say that the figures cannot be definitively tied to the test, but a similar phenomenon dubbed terror sex was observed in New York after September 11th. Some experts suggest that South Koreans are using sex as a stress reliever. Wang Sang-min, a psychology professor, said he thinks there's a link between the nuclear test and the increase in sexual activity. He says human instinct is to preserve their species in times of trouble. This from the BBC.
In a case unprecedented worldwide, Andre Chad Perenzi, who was sentenced to 15 years jail in February for having unprotected sex with three women while HIV positive, is legally challenging his conviction on the grounds that HIV does not exist. Medical physicist Eleni Papadopoulos-Elapios testified that HIV has never been isolated and has no proven connection to AIDS. She cited a scientific paper which claimed that the chance of transmitting HIV male-female via vaginal sex was negligible. The witness also said that AIDS was a result of prolonged exposure to semen, which degrades cells. A second witness, Val Turner, claimed that there was no direct test for HIV. The prosecution has objected to the expert status of the witness.
The city of Omaha, Nebraska, has urged residents to call 911 if they see someone lighting up in violation of the city's new smoking laws. If caught, offenders face fines of up to $500 or a criminal citation. Penalties will also apply to business owners who allow smoking in a banned area. Police have indicated that they are prepared to let owners off with a warning on their first offense. A new law allows some businesses, including a racetrack and bars that do not serve food, to extra 5 years to come into compliance. News you really don't hear anywhere else, eh?
And that was the KBOO Morning News for Friday, October 27th, 2006. Thanks for listening. This morning's newscast was edited by Becca Bartelson and Chris Andre. Our engineer was also Becca Bartelson, and the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Jake Wallner.
And I'm Chris Andre. This weekend's Portland area weather forecast is today mostly sunny, patchy fog in the morning, locally dense highs around 60, light wind. Tonight mostly clear, patchy fog after midnight, lows in the 30s. Saturday mostly sunny, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 60, lows 35 to 45. And Sunday, rain likely in the morning, turning to a chance of showers in the afternoon, highs around 55. Sunday night mostly cloudy, slight chance of showers in the evening, then partly cloudy after midnight, lows around 35.